This is take two, side one of the Dorothy Harper Jones interview. When the last tape ended, she was talking about the Martin Luther King March and mm-hmm. as your duties as associate dean, was it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so she, because I was like half time there and half time in her office, and so she said to me that, Dorothy, I want the Martin Luther King celebration to be better than it has been. Mm-hmm. And so I said, okay. I didn't say it like that to her. Mm-hmm. But then what I did was talk with people, find out what had been happening, and what was the reason people weren't marching. Some people didn't even know about Martin Luther King, you know, all kinds of things. And so I had a committee, and we worked on getting it out to people, getting information. We had captains from different schools. We had people who had roles to play. And then we always ended up at the Wharton Center where there was a big celebration. And they had had this in the past, but they were not well planned. And it was, you know, people who really had some sincere interest in what Martin Luther King about didn't take part in it. But we did it with dignity. We did it with people being involved. There was always the students representing the different organizations of color who had speaking parts, and they saw that as a big honor. And then we usually had, and then we had it where every unit was expected to do something on Martin Luther King. And so therefore they had to let me know. And so the day of Martin Luther King, because we had the march in the evening, I would go around to different sites and see what their not in terms of checking up on them, but just wanted to see what they were doing. And there were so many different ways they were doing it. Some had done, had people write poetry, and so you read your poetry, and others, somebody else did a skit. It was just so many different things. And some had round tables where the faculty did presentations. Others had it where faculty and students did. So it's okay with me, whatever you do, as long as it's clear that you are honoring Martin Luther King's memory by sharing and moving forward, that we are not going backwards here. And there were a couple of the marches were, it was cold. Mm-hmm.
Last year was cold.
Yes. Well, but this was earlier, mm-hmm. and I said, well, we have no choice. We mm-hmm. march. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so it went down for a while, but now they are trying to make sure it continues as an important part. And it depends on who is really responsible, because when I retired, that was the end of mm-hmm. my responsibility there.
Mm-hmm. I think from her presence, though, the president now indicates is indicating its importance.
Oh yeah. We worked on it.
Yep.
Yes. Yeah. Because our president is very, very smart. Some people say he's not, but I don't agree with that. Because he sees when something's mm-hmm. going well. He mm-hmm. knows when it's appropriate and the right thing to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Would you talk a little bit about some of the diversity efforts that you made or at the time in terms of talking about some of the issues facing students here mm-hmm. at Michigan State mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. that you encountered maybe earlier as a professor and then later on?
Well, one of the things is we had, I would go around and speak to classes. I would go around and speak to units. It was anything anybody asked questions about on diversity, I'd go and try to do it. And if I didn't know how, then I says, okay, I'm not so sure I am the best person for this, but I will find a person for you. Mm-hmm. And then what I would try to do is to go with that person when he or she went to that unit. So it wasn't just one way of doing it. It was diversity is important. The provost has said this. Now, if we can be of any help to you, then we will do so. and making it happen. So it was an open kind of thing of, because some people didn't know where to start with diversity. And I said, well, you don't have to start big, you just got to start. Mm-hmm. And even if it's, and then another thing we did, we had students go out in the community to different agencies and do something on that day. And then, okay, if you come back and you found, that was kind of fun, that you felt you were making a difference. All right, now what if you look at doing that for the next 5 months and get some, and have your professor give you some credit for that. So what we were doing is continually trying to expand the definitions of what Martin Luther King was about. Mm-hmm. And how you could take that to the next level. And actually, we had to work in terms of persons of color, because some of the students of color were feeling, you know, why, you know, this is just lip service. And I said, and I did some preaching, but you may feel this is lip service, but it's not. And if you get yourself involved, you'll see it's not lip service. And if somebody says something's lip service, then that should be your time to say, it ain't going to be lip service. Mm-hmm. That Martin Luther King is important enough. And so Martin Luther King was sort of the linchpin for a lot of things mm-hmm. that we did. And but it wasn't the only thing, but it was like, and you know the banners they have mm-hmm. around there?
Yes. Mm-hmm. That was your idea?
I started it. I said, I want some banners. I want people to know that we are celebrating. So if people come on campus, oh, no. I said, no. If I go to people and try to get some money, can I get these banners? And so I had to work with people over in plant, in the plant area, because uh-huh. they're the ones who got to put them up.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And I had friends over there. Oh, I was determined. And so now you go out, you see banners up for all occasions. Mm-hmm. But, and so we had, the first year we did it, and then we took them down, and then we got some more. So the second year we had even more up. So now they are a regular thing. Mm-hmm. But now banners are seen as a way, because like the museum mm-hmm. has theirs up all the time, and mm-hmm. other places celebrate various things. And so I said, yes, Dorothy, you had something to do with that. Yeah. But no, right. I mean, not in it. And I say that to you just because we're having this this chat, mm-hmm. but I was always interested in us celebrating in a respectful, knowledgeable way, mm-hmm. that it wasn't just you get out there and walk. Mm-hmm. But we always had wonderful speakers. I remember we negotiated one person 1 year. Everybody wanted him. He had been one of the marchers in the civil rights movement. And they wanted him, and it was like, oh golly, he's so busy and everything. I stayed on the phone, but I mean, he finally came, and it was like they had a chance to feel even more connected from what they heard about his experiences mm-hmm. with Martin Luther King. Yeah. So it's that was a piece that was just very exciting, because I thoroughly enjoyed challenges that students brought, mm-hmm. But also like the idea of saying that there were things that could be changed, and with the provost support that I felt that I could try to make some of those changes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Very interesting. Mm-hmm. When were there any other people, that faculty that you worked with, that you think it deserved great mention, that you worked closely with?
Oh dear.
Was Dr. Bonner, was he your replacement?
His title is very different from mine.
Okay.
He was technically, I'm not remembering his title right
Vice
now.
Vice president.
But he was out of the president's office.
Okay, all right. And you were the provost.
Right. And so mine was in terms of students and the educational process. Mm-hmm. And his was more looking at the bigger picture.
Mm-hmm. Staff, retention, yes,
right,
recruitment.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then one of the great experiences was being a part of the provost staff meetings where mm-hmm. you see how things get done. And I am on the sesquicentennial committee. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're working at trying to make all of that celebration. And it's interesting because people on that committee are from so many different backgrounds. And they have their own agendas, mm-hmm. but they also spend a lot of money. And you can buy some things, and they are expensive. But that's what you do when you mm-hmm. celebrate a sesquicentennial. Mm-hmm. And then who's going to be the speakers in the parade and all of these things. So it's fun. Mm-hmm. So that's one committee that I... when I was asked to be on it, I said, of course, that would be fun. Mm-hmm. And the other has been that in the College of Social Science, I, along with a couple other people, decided that we wanted to stay connected with each other. We were retired faculty. But we thought there were some things that we could do, and that we thought we could mentor students, we could do presentations, and so we started. There were about five of us. I was the only female, and the rest were retired profs from social science, and we started meeting on it was maybe twice a month that we would meet, and we would talk about what were some of the things we could do that would be a benefit to the units in the college and that we could feel that we were making a contribution. So we did some presentations to students. We had them come in, and we worked with them on various things. But then, lo and behold, guess what? This is now a university committee. Hmm.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Yeah. And they have meetings once a month, and sometimes I'm able to go, and sometimes I'm not. But it's now that the emeriti faculty is... has agendas of things that it can do. I think I prefer when it was smaller.
Mm-hmm. I see.
Because I sort of knew everybody, mm-hmm. and we were sort of on the same page. And I'm not saying the leadership now is not good, but mm-hmm. it was like we could take a project and we could look at trying to make it happen. If you got more people, it doesn't go as fast.
That's true.
And but one of the things I think that did happen, some people thought that we were overstepping our bounds. We didn't hear this directly, mm-hmm. that we were doing things that people in the departments, in those units, should be doing in terms of providing that to students. Well, I guess we didn't, if it was identified and we were available, we thought that was okay, but mm-hmm. we got protocol around this place. Yes, but we enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. But that's a committee that's, as I say, continues to function, and it has meetings once a month. And I have not been to the last three, not because I don't support it, but that I had conflicts. And so, but it is still... is still functioning. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. When did you retire?
I've been retired now, oh goodness, at least 5 years. Mm-hmm. I miss it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And if I wasn't doing something, if I wasn't teaching at Smith, I would really miss it, because I do enjoy academia. And when I'm asked to do something here on campus, I do like this. Mm-hmm. I could have said no, but
glad.
I didn't.
We're glad you didn't.
no, and it's because I Michigan State has been a part of my life for a long time, and I would be interested in what comes of this. And so I think it's an excellent idea, and I think that emeriti faculty will be pleased about this. And oral history is just something that's really a wonderful way of capturing people. It's very different from just if you see it, they are writing something, yeah. Mm-hmm. And you're a good interviewer.
You hear the voice. Oh, thank you. Better than they used to be. What's the nature of your teaching at Smith? In the summer?
Yes, okay. Yes. Smith has it, I may have said this, but Smith has it where their program is very different from any, I think there's one other one in the country, where all of the classes are held during the summer. Then the students go to agencies all over the country, and they are there for 9 months. Mm-hmm. And they are supervised in their training by someone who is in their agency. They still have to send in monthly reports to mm-hmm. Smith on what they're doing, what they're learning, this kind of thing. But on the ground, they are not interacting. And then a faculty from Smith have to go in on site and do checkups to see how things are going and mm-hmm. making sure that the student is getting the kind of experience that they want. So that's the way that works. And then, as I say, they come back to Smith in the summertime for 10 weeks. And you have to do two field placements of 9 months and then 3 summers at Smith. The course I'm teaching this time is the first time I will have taught this course. I have taught direct practice, I've taught supervision, I've taught lots of different ones. But the person who usually teaches this course is on sabbatical. And so they asked me if I'd teach it. So this will be the first time I've taught it. And it's called Knowing, Not Knowing, and Muddling Through. For me, it gives a lot of different options of what we cover. But I'm framing this as a very positive kind of thing, that they know a lot. And that they really are not going to have to do much muddling through. Mm. If they remember that they know a lot and that they can ask questions, that they don't have to feel that they know it all, because you don't. Mm-hmm. After all these years, I continue to learn. And so I go in about a week's time. So putting you on the schedule was really something because, as I say, I leave Sunday mm-hmm. and I don't expect to get back here until in October. So the timing was very good. Mm-hmm. So with Smith and all, it is on a very personal level. I have a suite. I have daily maid service. I don't have to cook one thing. And I have good food.
Yeah.
And so it ends up being, and then you get this opportunity to eat with the students, you get that opportunity to look forward to them. And I hope it continues to go well. I'm not usually superstitious or anything, but someone told me that my class is already full.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. That's great.
This is a graduate level class?
This is seniors.
Yeah. Seniors, okay.
They will have their MSWs.
Okay. Right.
They will graduate the last day before I leave. So these are students that I know, and I'm glad to be a part of their graduation. Mm-hmm.
Okay. It seems like in looking at your career at Michigan State, outreach both to the community and beyond seems to be an important theme in your experience.
Mm-hmm.
That and the land grant mission, would you care to talk a little bit about that?
Mm-hmm. Well, if I talk about it from a land grant perspective, it is that definition can mean a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
And that that this university is supposed to be open and available to all citizens. And with that in mind, I don't try to do everything. What I do with people, when I go out in the community representing Michigan State, I try to do the best that I can so that whatever it is, they look on MSU as being a viable part of the community, and it has something to offer. And if you come here to this campus, you will find something. And come to the programs we have. You will find that there's so much happening at Michigan State. So I see myself as an ambassador for Michigan State because I continue to have a good relationship with it. And so the land grant piece is in place. I mean, we are supposed to be doing for the citizens of this state. Mm-hmm. And so that whether it's, I remember we had very early in my career, when we had CIC fellows, and we would go and meet people quite frequently in Chicago from other schools, and then we were learning from each other of how we could do something back at our schools. And so that was a piece. And it's just that a school like this has so many options of ways that it can use its talents and its resources. And I think that Michigan State does a good job there. I mean, I've been out in the sheep pasture. I've been, you know, I just have tried to, not exactly my area of study or anything, but of looking at the whole thing. And when I was thinking about the CIC thing, but I remember we had something where they took us around to all of the places on campus. That was phenomenal because I don't think I would have ever gotten there. But that was part of us knowing what is what's happening here, how it fits with the land grant focus in making a difference in this state, mm-hmm. and in the country and in the world. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's as I said, when I would go to Africa, I was always indicating that I was representing Michigan State. Mm-hmm. If I was dancing or if I was in a village who had never heard of Michigan State, that was okay too. So I still would tell them. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
That's great.
Well, I'd like to thank you on behalf of the project for your time and especially your insights.
Oh, well.
Thank you
very
much.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure talking with you. You're good in the sense of you say a few things and then, I don't know if it's just me, but you prompt. You give good prompts. Yeah. So I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Being asked. Uh-huh.